A lot of talk about government's announcement about the re-entry to schools in September. A lot of uncertainty. And, well, the English School District says, although there will be challenges with this new plan, they're looking forward to welcoming students back this September. Newfoundland and Labrador English School District Board Chair Gromway Price spoke at yesterday's announcement.
Even as we conclude the most unusual school year, I know department and district staff have been working closely on plans to address the various scenarios outlined here today. We know there is still a great deal of work to be done at the individual school level, and I think this is important to really reflect on. We're a huge province, and we have different circumstances no matter where you come from in this province, and we have to be flexible enough and creative enough to make sure we keep our children safe, but offer what their enrichment needs are at the community level. And that's the work that we can now and get on and do for September in an organization. Meanwhile, we certainly welcome the announcement of the funding to be provided, additional technology for students and children. There's been a tremendous effort to try and make sure that this does really look out for the disadvantaged, the advantaged, and also the ones that need the super stuff so that they can have their brains challenged and work in the appropriate way. Regardless of the situation in September or how the school year evolves, this is a tremendous investment to the future of education delivery in Newfoundland and Labrador. We've been striving to get this kind of equipment for so long in order to rejuvenate and excite our young people. This is not for the right reasons, or we wish it was under a different circumstance, but this still provides the necessary momentum to go in that direction. So I thank the provincial government for recognizing that this was a priority, particularly as so many priorities were emerging as a result of this health emergency. Our collective energies are now focused on September and welcoming our students and teachers back to the classrooms with all the necessary public health measures in place. There will be challenges. There's no exception. We might as well acknowledge and accept that now. But with patience and cooperation from all involved and a firm commitment to put the educational and social emotional needs of our students first, I believe that we're going to get this through this together. And one last little point that I was going to try to make is this is not about the school district. This is not about government. This is not about associations. This is about our students, our children, their social, emotional well-being, and their educational future. We have to do absolutely everything we can to make sure it works in September.
And that is Gromway Price weighing in on the newly announced plan to re-enter schools in September. Of course, in keeping with this topic, it's part of our VOCM News question of the day as well. I think the main concerns around this are the classroom size, student and teacher safety, and the shortage of substitute teachers. These are all concerns that are being raised as it pertains to this issue. NLTA President Dean Ingram, I think the main concerns around this are the classroom size, student and teacher safety, and the shortage of substitute teachers. These are all concerns that are being raised as it pertains to this issue. NLTA President Dean Ingram is on the phone right now. How convenient. He joins us live to talk about the back-to-school planning scenarios. Good morning, Mr. Ingram.
And good morning to you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, what's your reaction to yesterday's announcement?
Well, I think right now, this first thing is there's some concerns. There's certainly a lot of unanswered questions that arise out of it. And we have serious questions as to how, with what we see in front of us, without an infusion of additional resources. Now, I just heard Mr. Price say about the technology resources. Yes, those are positive steps. That is a positive step. But there are other resources that will be needed if our schools are to return in the fall in a safe manner for students, for teachers, and everyone enters those school buildings.
And, I mean, It's clear to me, but is it detailed enough? I mean, is the plan enough for parents? The plan seems to be several different options.
It's the option there, too, but one of the concerns is there's no allowance for what resources will be available to put those in. There's an inconsistent messaging when it comes to physical distancing. Looking through the report, there's several references on page 3 about class sizes. We have junior highs in this province with up to 34 students. So, if you look at it, it talks about there wouldn't be a reduction of class size to accommodate programming. My question is, if you don't reduce those numbers, how can you maintain the necessary physical distancing measures? We've spent the past 4 months since COVID began talking about the emphasis on physical distancing, on wearing masks, on initiating safe health practices. this plan certainly is questionable in terms of whether it continues to emphasize those very things.
Yeah, and when you think about the large class sizes, I mean, just haven't worked that out. That's some new math that I can't work out. Do you guys feel properly consulted on this? That's another thing that's been raised.
We were consulted, engaged in discussions up until, but in terms of the plan we currently see before us, we learned of this release on late Friday evening that the announcement was actually happening. We did not see a copy of the draft plan in advance. And these are things that we felt if we were consulted prior to this plan to provide the opportunity for additional feedback, additional consultation, we probably could have addressed some of these things. But there are certainly significant questions in what we see before us. Now, that being said, the Premier did reach out to me yesterday morning, approximately 11 o'clock. I had a discussion with him. He emphasized that, one, we would be meeting with the Office of Public Health. We have requested a meeting. To date, we haven't had that scheduled, but we would be receiving that meeting. And we would be involved in the consultation as to how to implement what needs to happen for the fall. I'm looking forward to those discussions, but we certainly will be pressing that there is going to be a need for measures taken to adequately address the physical distancing concerns, the other measures surrounding health and safety for many within the school system.
What are you hearing from teachers?
There's a lot of concerns. As I mentioned yesterday, since March, we've received over 31,000 emails at this office from teachers expressing concerns about how can they maintain a safe and orderly environment? How can they deliver curriculum in this new environment? What are their concerns there? We've heard, as you mentioned, your prelude, but from our substitute teacher, with some real significant concerns about their futures. These are things that are certainly being raised. And I would add that the concerns we're hearing from our members mirror those that we hear. I've had outreach from numerous parents in this province.
Now, I would imagine.
Students, and students as well have outreached directly to me. It concerns about these dynamics.
I can only imagine how students feel, Mr. Ingram. But as you mentioned, you know, these concerns that you're hearing from the teacher, from teachers, I would say you're going to bring that to your meeting with public health officials. What other recommendations will you be making?
I think if you look at, we certainly need to take steps in reducing class sizes. These are things there, certainly at least on an interim basis, but I would add that we've been advocating for an examination of the teacher allocation model long before COVID. It's certainly not new for us. In fact, the fall we were talking about the concerns we had about our Class Size Matters campaign. We know there's a concern pre-COVID. With COVID and the measures there, that has to be addressed in some fashion. We know that since COVID took, there are a lot of students, there's a lot of adults that are experiencing tremendous anxiety. Students that were receiving counseling services pre-COVID, many of them will have regressed. In 2007, the ratio recommended for school counselors was 1 to 333. We currently have 1 to 500. In a pre-COVID environment, we needed enhanced access to school counselors, school psychologists.
There's
we need
more of
more
a need
now.
For them as well, I would say.
Even more.
Forward.
On the administrative side, the amount of logistical concerns that are there, the screening procedures, the data collection, and so on, and we outlined a number of those yesterday in the press conference that we had. There's going to be a need for additional supports on that end as well. In short, we need to ensure that our schools are positioned to be safe for everyone that enters the building so that students can receive the curriculum they need in a manner that's safe, and we don't run additional risk, unnecessary risk, of a relapse, policies that aren't supported, that aren't provided what they need to be effectively implemented, are very likely to fail.
And as president of the NLTA, what is the most likely and most desirable scenario in the fall if COVID numbers remain low?
If COVID numbers remain fair, like I said, I think I speak for everyone, certainly teachers are amongst them. There's no one that wants this to return to normal as much as our province's teachers. Ideally, we'd have a vaccine that's developed tomorrow, mass-produced, mass-distributed, and life goes on as normal in September. Now, the possible different scenarios based on the healthcare situation, we have to look there, but I would certainly strongly add that I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not an infectious degree specialist. And we have the default to public health and what their suggestions are. What I would see is an ideal scenario. Public health has to examine make a decision on what's needed for a safe environment. I know there's reference to sick kids, but I would say, certainly offer, that there's a number of that studies out there from a CBC article a number of months ago, actually produced, weeks ago, actually prevent a critique from doctors around the world that have actually questioned the sick kids' results. We need to ensure that whatever measure in place, the school system is given what it needs to effectively implement a safe learning environment for our students as we move forward into the fall.
And you're just talking about best case scenario, if case numbers remain low. But in the event that we do see the second wave and it's a little much, if it's dangerous and scary and schools have to close completely, then what's the plan?
I think then what has to happen is if we move to an online environment, which certainly under the scenario you painted, I think would have to be considered, probably might be the best scenario, and under those situations where we have a complete relapse. We know that in jurisdictions around the world, they've opened schools and had to reclose them. We don't want to go there. I think the technology investments will be a starting point there. I think what has to happen is there has to be professional learning, not just on the technical side, but also on the pedagogical side. How to teach. I can say this is that before I'd assumed the presidency, I was an online educator for 10 years. There is a different pedagogy from the students understand their learning practice, but also for the teacher in delivering new curriculum.
And do teachers feel trained and equipped to move to this online platform?
There has been personal learning provided, but there are certainly questions about do they need adequate. I think there's going to need to revisit that in the fall again for a number of reasons. Obviously, over the summer, some of those skill sets may have eroded without practicing any skill set. But we also will have a group of new teachers that will be entering the system in the fall. Those new teachers entering positions, they wouldn't have had any exposures. Online education delivery isn't something that's taken up in any undergraduate program. It's just not there. So there needs to be a sufficient professional learning, sufficient training, so that if we do, and again, I want to stress that that's not a scenario that any of us wants, a solely online environment, but if we do have a relapse, which could happen, we want to make sure that our province's educators, our province's schools are as equipped as possible to deal with that potential reality. The technology investments is a good start. I think those provision devices will have a legacy going forward. Mr. Price did allude to that. But we have to ensure that it's not just about the access to devices, it's the access to bandwidth. All these things are questions that need to be considered. What provisions will we put in place for those students that may not have access to adequate bandwidth?
And it is a serious concern.
Absolutely. I know Minister Davis did reference that in a previous statement earlier this month, or last month rather. But there are things that are real concerns, and we need to look at alternative plans to actually how students can still access curriculum when bandwidth is not an option.
NLTA President Dean Ingram, we have to leave it there only because we're going to go to Minister War next. I thank you so much for your input.
Thank you so much. My pleasure being there.
And it is 7:48. As I said, Minister War standing by live on your VOCM coming up.